Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Life is not simple. In fact, it can be very messy, especially when taking hits from the collateral damage of fractured relationships. Mending broken fences requires sensitivity and the grace of God. Today, we'll learn more about how to mend them. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, we continue a series on the power of a clear conscience. We're talking about reconciling broken relationships. And sometimes, people make this process very difficult.
You know, there are so many situations. Can I tell you another one? True story. This woman comes to us and here's her story, okay? She and her husband have 3 or 4 children. He leaves, runs off, gets married to the woman of his dreams. But now the children are in school and they have various events that they need to attend to and are involved in. And he, as their father, wants to participate in their kids' education and their children's work at school and so forth. So he comes to his ex-wife and says, well, why can't we just be friends? I mean, can't we just go out together after the play? And I know that I'm with my new wife, but why can't we just enjoy, you know, each other? Let the past be past. In this instance, I wrote him a letter. I wish I could find it because I believe that God gave me very specific wisdom for him. I said, you know that your ex-wife wants exactly what you do. She also wants to be able to go out and let the past be past, but she can't act as if nothing happened. Never any asking for forgiveness. Never hint that maybe he did something wrong or offended her and betrayed their marriage and destroyed their relationship. Oh, no, let's just pretend that it's all okay, you know? I mean, let bygones be bygones, let the past be past. Not so fast, not so fast. What I'd like to do is to give you a couple of bottom line comments here as we apply this to ourselves. First of all, asking for forgiveness begins with receiving forgiveness. Asking for forgiveness begins with receiving forgiveness. And so if you're listening today and you don't know that you've been forgiven by God, some of you say, well, I've confessed my sins. Well, that's fine. But what you need to do is to receive Christ as Savior, because confession only takes care of past sins. You need a relationship with God that will endure forever. And that doesn't happen just through confession. We explained that in a previous message. But isn't it wonderful to know that God is a redeeming God, and the God who knows all about us and all of the details invites us. And as we get to know one another and our sinfulness and our proclivity, I don't think I've used that word in years, but it seems to fit here. And our proclivity, so our proclivity to sin, we exercise the same grace that we have been shown in Jesus Christ our Lord. That's the standard, and that's what we must do. Now, Gary Chapman tells a very sweet story in his book that I have to repeat, and that is that his little granddaughter came over to their place. I think her name was Davy Grace, and she was about 5 or 6. And she asked whether or not she could have some stickers. And her grandmother told her, yes, you may have 3 stickers. She knew the drawer in which they were. Any 3 you want, but only 3. Well, pretty soon stickers began to show up all over the house. And so they went to her and they said, you know, you were told that you were only to have 3 stickers. You disobeyed Grandma. And the little girl began to cry. And she said, I need somebody to forgive me. I don't care who you are. You and I need somebody to forgive us. And thank God that in Jesus Christ, he sent somebody to forgive us. And he can cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If you've never received Christ as Savior, that's the beginning point. And then you can talk about reconciliation. Secondly, we will reconcile. We will reconcile when our desire to be right with God, this is absolutely critical. I hope if you're writing, this is the place to write. We will reconcile when our desire to be right with God is greater than our pride and our reputation. When the hand of God is really on us, we will reconcile when our desire to be right with God is paramount, and that's the stuff of revival. In the early 70s in Canada, there was a great revival that swept Western Canada. I actually wrote a book about it, though that book is out of print now. And the great way in which the revival caught the attention of the world was all the people who were coming back to make things right. I mean, the Canadian equivalent of the IRS was being sent checks unasked for. You had people going back to stores. You had all of these things happening because God was working mightily and the world was definitely convicted. I mean, I'm thinking of my own sister-in-law who went back because a 99-cent bag of potatoes was on the bottom of her cart and it wasn't seen. And now she goes to the manager and confesses. And he says, either it's my lucky day or something's happening in this town. You're the second person that has come to me today to confess. Well, something was happening in the town. Because people were so desperate to be right with God, they said, even though my reputation... You see, the reason that God blesses people who reconcile, you know, in Matthew 18, it says, where two or three are gathered together, there am I in the midst. Why does Jesus say that there? It's not talking about a prayer meeting, though he is there. He's talking about reconciliation because it is the final way in which God humbles us. And who of us has not been humbled because we've needed to confess? I can think of many instances. I'm going to tell you only one, and that was when I was in seminary. We had to go to the chalkboard, this prof had us, and we had to write out some Greek verbs over here and, the various forms of the verbs. I was never good at languages. I liked the philosophical big idea, theology. Now, that's better. But the guy next to me, whose name was Paul, who's a missionary today, I knew that this guy knew Greek. He had a facility for languages. So I just stepped back from the board a bit, and I saw his thing, and I wrote it down. Later on in seminary, a week or so later, I forget the timeline, we're having communion. And during this communion service, the Holy Spirit so convicted me because of my cheating. I'll tell you, when the service was over, I beat him to his office, waited for him, and said, I want you to know today that I cheated. And he was very forgiving because he knew that the temptation being on a chalkboard close to somebody else is great. But I think of another man who taught me chemistry actually in high school. He was a person who was in church as often as the pews. I mean, they were there all the time as a family. He taught Sunday school. He was in the leadership of the church. But when he graduated with a master's degree years earlier, he had cheated on a term paper. I won't go into detail how the cheating happened. From our standpoint, it wasn't that big a deal. But he said that when he walked across the stage to receive these honors, it was as if his feet were as heavy as lead. But he received the honor. Worked in the church for 20, 30 years. But now the Holy Spirit was working, and he was going to really pray to God for his daughter. I mean, just not a little God bless her. I mean, this was... And the Holy Spirit seemed to say, Henry, don't bother. Wow. Why would God say, don't bother? Henry, you're regarding iniquity in your heart. There's something that you need to make right. And then you come to me and pray. He went back to the university, confessed what had happened, and he was willing even if they took his degree away, because the desperation of wanting to be right with God was more powerful than his own humiliation as to what he went through. I'll leave with you with a final comment. Sometimes we must risk it all, particularly our reputation. Sometimes we must risk it all to have radical transformation. where we simply say, for the good of my conscience, for the good of God, so that he can bless me abundantly, I will take care of this, no matter the cost. Some of you need to take care of things. And you may not know exactly how. Maybe you can receive counsel from someone whom you respect and is wise to walk you through it. But blessed are all those who have a conscience free of offense before God and before man. You can't straighten it all out, but you can straighten it out to the best of your ability to be free. Father, help us. We ask, Lord Jesus, that as this word goes out, there are all kinds of people dealing with you right now, all kinds of issues that are coming up. We ask, Father, that whatever the cost may be, we may humble ourselves, broken in your presence, and be willing to say, Lord, whatever, whatever. Oh, Father, do that. Even as I've experienced conviction in my life, bring that to all who have outstanding issues. We ask in Jesus' blessed name. Amen. Amen. Wait a moment now before we close this prayer. Would you talk to God for just a little bit? What did he speak to you about? Are you going to follow through? Are you going to say, God, by your grace, I'll do it? How many of you here in the sanctuary today would raise your hands and say, by God's grace, I'm going to do what God showed me? Do you see those hands? Yes, it's wonderful to see all through the sanctuary balcony, folks. You're not exempt. Do I see your hands? Look at that, all over. God, help us to do what you show us in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Well, this is Pastor Luther. While you were listening to this segment of this message, was the Holy Spirit speaking to you? Did God make clear to you as to what he is requiring of you to make some issues right that you have buried? I hope that you respond and that you say, yes, whatever it is that the Holy Spirit shows me, I'm willing to do that. There is nothing like complete obedience, and personal revival often costs us a great deal because the Holy Spirit begins to put his finger on things that we hoped we would never have to deal with. But God wants thoroughness. He who covers his sin will not prosper, but whosoever confesses and forsakes his sin receives mercy. And if you've been blessed as a result of these messages, who do you know who also needs to listen to these messages? We're interested in transformation. The series is entitled The Power of a Clear Conscience.
Erwin Lutzer, wrapping up Reconciling Broken Relationships, the 9th in a 10-part series on the power of a clear conscience. Satan lies to us to defile our consciences. Next time, don't miss Keeping Your Conscience Clear. Your support makes Running to Win possible. And to say thanks for your gift of any amount, we'd like to send you Dr. Lutzer's life-changing book, The Power of a Clear Conscience. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. For Dr. Erwin Lutzer, this is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.